Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Good evening, everybody. We've got a weird, brackets, meaning unique show for you this evening as we look at an astonishing attack on the Charlton fans, releasing a statement from the club's owner, Roland Duchatelet, on Tuesday evening. A statement so toxic that the club's new head of communications, Mel Baroni, who was completely undermined by Duchatelet's insistence this statement be released despite advice not to, has resigned after just 46 days in the jobs, ... This statement was a declaration of war from a beleaguered owner whose disdain for Charlton supporters is clear for all to see. A disdain that appears pandemic throughout the top levels of this club. Welcome to Charlton Live. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live. It's Thursday, the 17th of March. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley is Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nathan?
Yeah, not bad. A couple of weeks off due to certain things. But I just want to make clear that I'm not Nathan Pryor, by the way.
Nathan Muller and Nathan Pryor are two separate contributors to the show. One of them contributes via email, one of them contributes via normal stuff. On tonight's show, it's been another crazy week at the circus. That is Charlton Athletic. We're going to look back at the ridiculous statement issued by Roland Duchatelet on the club's website on Tuesday evening. Like I say, it was an attack on Charlton fans from a beleaguered owner who's lashing out like a baby. We're going to talk about the reactions to this statement from various people from the Target 20K group, from the Voice of the Valley fanzine, from various people in the wider media, from Danny Kelly on Talk Sport, from the papers such as The Sun, The Daily Mail. We're going to talk about why this has led to Mel Baroni resigning from her job. We're going to pay tribute to John Little as well, who South London Press revealed today is going to be resigning sort of at the end of the season. We've got some emails from some fans who have come in during the week, so we're going to talk about that. And then we're also going to look back at the Kent Senior Cup semi-final victory at Ebbsfleet on Tuesday night. We're going to hear from George Lapsley, the under-18 captain. He made the step up to the under-21s for that game. We're going to hear from him as well. And then we're going to look ahead to Saturday's game with Sheffield Wednesday, which we're all very much looking forward to. But I think... first things first, let me read you out the transcript of the statement from Roland Duchatelet. A bizarre statement, completely contradicting the statement that came out on Sunday, which you could argue, despite being a bit of something we've heard before from the fans' point of view, is actually quite a good press statement from the club's point of view. He's completely undermined that one now. So you can just imagine Roland sitting there writing this. Dear fans... Last Sunday, some individuals did not come to the Valley to watch a game and support the team, but to create disorder on the pitch and interfere with the players and the game. Disorder which is, allegedly, needed to drive change in ownership and management. Whom would they expect the club to be sold to? How long would a sales process take? Is it easier to sell the club when it is in League One rather than the Championship? Hopefully we won't have to find out. Some individuals seem to want the club to fail. This is a confused approach, since following this logic leads exactly to the opposite of what we all want, staying in the Championship. Allegations regarding the CEO are misrepresented, and there's an asterisk there, which is, adds something at the bottom, and we are continuously used as a method to discredit and fuel... personal abuse, hatred, with a risk to personal safety. Although certain individuals tell you it does not happen, in recent weeks, Roland Duchatelet has met the fans. The CEO has met with several different groups of fans, and the communications team have attended several fans' meetings. We will continue these meetings and constructive dialogue with the fans. We have 9 games left in which we've got to get 6 points more than our competitors. The team just got 7 points out of 3 games. We still have the chance to make it happen with the support of the fans until the very last game. We must believe it is still possible. Every football fan knows the 12th man is a crucial factor in our success on the pitch. And then the asterisk, it reminds us, it's verbatim, the quotes from Catherine Mary in Ireland. I think the difference is also because the fans don't see themselves as customers and brackets, dot, 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 close brackets. They go to the restaurants with their families every week and they go to the cinema. But if they aren't satisfied with the product, will they go scream and scream at the people in charge? No, they don't, because they do it, but they do it with a football club. And that's very weird. Brackets, meaning unique, close brackets, because they feel a sense of ownership of a football club. And that's a really difficult balance of how you try and engage with fans and make them incorporated into some of the decisions of the club, comma, bracket, dot, 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 bracket, full stop. Now that is how you do a statement.
I mean, it was one of the weirdest statements I think I have actually ever read. I mean, when I first read it, I mean, I saw the... At first, I didn't see it on Charlton Life, or anything. I sort of got it through WhatsApp and stuff, and I read it. And my first reaction was that someone's, obviously it's like another prank sort of thing, and someone's gone into some sort of server, I don't know, I'm not an IT guru, and then sort of typed this trollop up, whatever you want to call it, just like, pose it. I mean, I have to laugh at it, because I don't really know what else to do. And to say that's coming from the club, you know, it's just the language in it, and just I don't really know what to say. It's just so weird. It's just laughable.
It was bizarre, because it'd be on Tuesday evening at Ebbsfleet. I was receiving tweets and there were messages on the forum asking if this was a hack, if the website had been hacked. And you know, things have got so crazy at Charlton that fans don't even believe like that an official club statement is real, because it's that crazy. I mean, that says all you need to know. It's a surefire sign that Roland du Châtelet, who penned this statement, has completely lost the plot and completely swiped out of the fans that he's claimed to want to try and work with, and all this nonsense. It's just a bizarre, clear sign that the protests are getting to him.
Yeah, no, I mean, and as well as we had the other statement as well, which I think they had to do due to the media coverage of Sunday's events. But, I just think it was added fuel to the fire, and it's just one thing after the other. And I thought both of them were quite patronising, which is the last thing you want to do when you're... It's just a massive own goal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking of all these clips of footballers like scoring funny own goals. This is what it reminds me of, and it's just, I don't know how they're going to be able to rectify this, which they never had a chance in the first place, but how they're going to try and do that now, it's going to be...
I don't think Roland could have made things any more toxic if he just decided to pick himself up front from now on. Put himself in goal, which he effectively did when he had Traoré in goal.
I mean, when you read it and you read the content of it, is what you're trying to gauge what he's trying to get out of it. You know, what is he trying to achieve? Would he really sit there and read it through, like you usually do? You proofread things, surely, right?
Sometimes.
Would you go through and go, yeah, I think that'll really speak to the fans, you know, I think that'll sort it right out, which,
Some of the accusations in the statement from Roland, that some individuals seem to want the club to fail. I mean, it's a direct reaction to the fans' protest from Sunday. I mean, I don't know a single Charlton fan who wants us to fail or, you know, support the team and not the regime. The people who walked out on 74 minutes were cheering the goal from the car park. They were cheering the second goal from the car park. I mean, it's just an outrageous load of nonsense from a man who clearly is completely out of touch with anything to do with this football club.
Yeah, and not only that, he's insinuating that, you know... some clubs want us to want the club to fail. Then is he saying that all the fans that helps us get back to the Valley are really hypocritical and fought for this club through tooth and nail to then just go, oh yeah, because we don't like our owners, we really want this club to go under? It's just ridiculous how you can sort of accuse that. Yeah. But again, it just goes back to the point, and I don't actually know what he's
thinking.
What's the thought process of it? I
played the sound effect of the baby crying, because it's a child throwing the toys out of his pram because no one likes him.
It's an embarrassment. He's probably embarrassed of what happened on Sunday, which is what, you know, Card set out to do, and it's worked.
Yeah.
And Collymore tweeted yesterday, Stan Collymore, tweeted something along the lines of, keep going, it's working. Which it is, because you don't... To go put that bait out, sort of thing, and then he's just come bit... big time. And yeah, that's exactly what we wanted them to do.
There's so much to go on here. I've got different points I want to write. So one of the lines, whom would they... Whom? You always know someone's not a good person when they say whom. Who says whom? Whom says whom? Come on. Whom would they expect the club to be sold to? I mean, we know for a fact that Peter Varney's in it, but you know what? If Peter Varney can't take hold of the club, Katrina's already said that almost every week that they get people offering to come and buy this club because it's a London-based championship club. Yeah. So it's not like there's no one out there. Mm. It's not like there's no one out there. So, and that's a ridiculous statement to make already.
Yeah, he also said something along the lines, you know, how long will it take for it to be sold? Well, first off, you've got to actually answer your emails and your phone calls and your meetings that you probably... Well, that's your first step. Yeah. Secondly, then you go and actually meet the person, whether it is, even if it was an advertising hoard, you're going to, any investment you're going to want to meet or speak to him about. But
the only investment that can come in the club would be financial fair play, which is one of his big things anyway, and help to run the club at a break even. My favourite bit, and it was hard to pick a favourite bit, but it's the bit, I mean, obviously we've got the weird brackets with the dot 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 in, which I advise everyone on Twitter, we're all putting that in our Twitter names. Yes. If you want to do that as well, that's a little bit of fun. Right, the Katrine's comments back in was it October, maybe, at the Web Summit. Mm. He says here that the allegations regarding the CEO are misrepresented and they are continuously used as a method to discredit and fuel personal abuse. Just to jog everyone's memory, this is the quote.
Fans don't see themselves as customers. Right. And so whenever I now get very friendly emails from fans, they say, get out of our club. So it's not the shareholders' club. I think it's quite funny because they say they pay, obviously the ticketing system is one third of our revenue stream. But they go to their restaurants with their family every week and they go to the cinema, but if they're not satisfied with the product, will they go and scream to the people in charge of it? No, they don't. But they do it with a football club, and that's very weird because they feel a sense of ownership of a football club, and that's a really difficult balance, is how you try to engage with fans and make them incorporate into this, some decisions of the club. But I think in the end, the bill is paid by somebody else, so he should have the final say.
Now, Roland's statement says that people are continuously using this as a method to discredit the CEO.
Very stable. You just heard it.
Yeah.
You can't really discredit, because it's exactly what she said.
Outrageous to say that people continuously use it. obviously, we have just then. Because that's prompted by the fact that he's then typed it out word for word on the bottom of this document. And the best thing about that is, I mean, as soon as I knew the statement was on the website, I tweeted it out there. Mm. And I get followed by mainly Charlton fans on Twitter. But a few people, there's a kid I used to go to school with who's now a journalist at the Sevenoaks Chronicle, who's a Palace fan. And he obviously clicked on that link. And he read those comments down the bottom as new, because most people don't understand those comments are from... So those comments, which would have been mainly forgotten if he hadn't mentioned them, are now back in the public line. Like, so this Palace fan tweeted thinking that Roland was saying these words, where in fact it was Katrine. So, you know, that he's brought these ridiculous comments back to the forefront of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, and even if you look at the statement, what they've typed out, or he's typed out, he relayed every single word apart from where he says, and that's very weird, and then he's put meaning unique in brackets. She didn't actually say that.
No,
she just
no.
said, it's weird. So now they're obviously trying to backtrack, trying to make it sound a lot more, you know, a lot more, I don't know what the word is, but yeah. I mean, it's just a load of old tosh. It really is, and it's just...
But the funny, do you remember, like, kids that get bullied and get called weird at school, you know, then their parents go, oh, no, it just means you're unique and all that. It's just absolutely bizarre, and a surefire sign that the owner of this football club has completely lost it and is swiping. And like I said at the top of the show, it's his disdain for Charlton fans has come through loud and clear in this message, and he's not the only one, is he? The reaction to this statement, as you'd expect, has been it's been received quite badly by members of the Charlton community and the wider football community. What should we go with first? I think...
No, we ain't going to read out all the Charlton Life ones, though. We would have for about a month.
A thousand comments on that. I mean, let's start off with the Voice of the Valley, Rick Everett. Voice of the Valley are a prominent member of the coalition against Roland du Châtelet. Rick Everett, he released a reasonably long sort of statement himself on the Voice of the Valley website. He said, like a drunk grabbing the wheel of a moving vehicle, Ronan du Châtelet last night steered Charlton Athletic into yet another public relations car crash. Of course, we don't know that the Belgian's owner had been drinking, or even for certain it was his lunge that made it swerve into the oncoming ridicule, but the circumstantial evidence for the latter is substantial, and I am fairly 100% confident.
Yeah.
The unattributed statement appeared mid-evening while staff were covering the Kent Senior Cup tie at Ebbs Fleet, which we'll talk about later because I was there, and clearly been written by someone to whom English is a second language and was presented with none of the basic presentational finesse of something prepared by staff. Indeed, Charlton's communications team did their best to bury it on the front page of the website and failed to alert supporters through social media, as they routinely do for other breaking news, in a clear indication of their lack of enthusiasm for the intervention. I mean, there's so much more to go on there from Rick. Never want to shirk away from criticising the regime, is Rick, but I mean, fully within his right to, and he's done a really nice piece on the Voice of the Valley website.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Rick talks a lot of sense, you know, and he probably speaks a lot of in the same sort of wavelength that most of us actually do, but are not as good as him as writing. Like, I couldn't write something like that, even though I understand it and believe and agree with every single word. So, but yeah, I mean, he's obviously writes great stuff, and that the thing that hits the nail on the head for me is that it speaks to every single fan. I'd imagine the majority, well, at least 2% anyway. But and that's the thing, and for that to happen, you're going to need people who are really passionate about it. And, you know, Rick ain't one who wants to see the club go down, like he suggested in his blimmin' in his statement. So, yeah, I think Rick's doing great. And, you know, just obviously I'll have to read all of it because I only read some of it on the train. But, yeah.
Yeah, the Sun newspaper. Yeah. Headline, Charlton owner releases hideous statement criticising fans and calling them customers. And he goes, Jimmy Lloyd in The Sun goes on to say, Charlton's owner has gone to war with the club's fans, which is obviously a pretty bad idea. Talking about how he was reacting to the protests on Sunday. But then he says, but now du Châtelet has hit back and said they would not scream if they went to a bad restaurant. The most unpleasant section of the statement published on the club's official website said, I think the difference is also, and he goes on to Katrine's comment before adding, okay, mate. The rest of the letter can be read here, but we can sum it up in two words, and then there's a picture of a cat that looks sad that says, poor me. and he says he was accused of peeing on the fans big time by other Charlton fans. So that shows how it's being picked up in the wider media. Danny Kelly is on TalkSport. He's on BT yep. Sport. He's a very well-respected sports broadcaster, journalist, presenter. He was presenting the TalkSport Drive show home yesterday. And he tweeted about 4:15 he was about to do his rant. I don't normally listen to TalkSport, but apparently they do a daily rant. Mm. And Danny Kelly decided to aim his daily rant at Charlton, as you'd expect. I listened in as I would, and just a few words. I mean, startlingly, Danny Kelly on du Châtelet said that we thought that the Oystons at Blackpool couldn't be topped, but now we have a new champion. That's how badly Roland and Katrine are viewed amongst the football public. He then went on to reread Katrine's comments, assuming they were from Roland himself. He then said, my friends, you have misunderstood English football from the top to the bottom. And then, so I'm all paraphrasing here, but he says that Roland and Katrine will eventually leave penniless, having wasted all their money here, but Charlton will survive because they have 15 to 20,000 fans here in South London who will keep them going.
Yeah, no, and again, nail on head sort of springs to mind. And yeah, I mean, I must admit, we had, TalkSport's been great. Stan Collymore's been really good, you know, when we had a phone-in of when the first set of protests come out against Forest, I think it was. Was it Forest, the first one?
Sheffield Wednesday was the first one,
the game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then
Forest was a really big one.
Yeah, so that was the real... And then Stan was amazing. We had loads of people call up. And then... But, all the media sort of outlets seem to be doing us a great job. I mean, even on Sunday with Sky, I mean, Scott Minto, even in Ian Holloway to an extent, which I didn't think he would, because he's... I don't think he's our biggest...
Well, he said something stupid at half-time. But,
yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean. We're getting so much exposure from, you know, from all the media outlets, and it's everyone can see it. It's just obviously the people that you really want to see it, which is Katrina and Roland, they're the only ones that aren't seeing it. Everyone
so
else is.
So they're just stubbornly refusing to accept
it. It's the only way you can
mistake.
Describe it.
I mean, we're going to talk about Mel in a bit, but there's something you could learn from Mel Baroni if you're Roland du Châtelet or Catherine Meret. Right. So we've seen reaction from the wider sports media there, from The Sun and from Danny Kelly, from what you'd call the anti-Roland media, sort of part of, you know, the Voice of the Valley fans. You know, now there's a section of Charlton fans who probably wavered on their distrust or on slagging off the owner Roland du Châtelet, and they were the sort of fans who would answer to the request from the club for help to form the Target 20K group. And, you know, we had them on the show a few weeks ago. I spoke to Adrian and Alison from the Target 20K group to find out what they were about. And I asked them the questions about, you know, would you struggle to work with this ownership and all this because they're seen as toxic? And, you know, that they had their answers, and that's how they feel, and that's their prerogative. And I felt very happy that they asked to come on the show and to share that with us, because, you know, they're Charlton fans as well. Not all Charlton fans think like Rick does, as we've discussed on this show, that there are some fans, you know, one or two, who will email in and say completely the opposite. There are one or two who think, you know, it's not great, but we want to try and crack on with what we've got. And you could put the Target 20K lot into that. They've released their own statement today, which shows that even they've been affected by this ridiculous statement from Roland du Châtelet. And it says the follows. The Target 20K group are a small but passionate group of supporters from a wide variety of backgrounds. We are independent from Charlton, but we meet with members of the club to propose and discuss ideas with them. To date, the Target 20K group has enjoyed a good working relationship with the club, resulting in some early successes, including but not limited to the requesting the cheapest area of the ground to return to the North Lower and the student concessions rates introduced. Naturally, all members of the Target 20K group are unanimous in sharing its surprise and disappointment in the unexpected statement which appeared on the Charlton website the other night. The Target 20K group were not aware of the club's intention to announce their statement and finds it cannot support it. However, having made progress with the management team, we feel that we can still get our message across to the club and to help make a difference. So for people like that to come out and slag off, I mean, it shows that even if there were waverers, like I say, some people wouldn't have been in favour of the protest on Sunday. Mm. Even those people, I feel, would have been affected by this ridiculous statement. And it just shows how badly, how ill-advised Roland was to put it out. Although, having said that, as far as I'm concerned, all the advice he got was to not put it out, and he just decided to meddle in a frontline operation that he has been accused of in the past of doing with the football side. Now he's done it with the communication side as well. What an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of Target 20K, the biggest sort of hurdle they're going to try is to communicate efficiently with the fans, with the broken relationship they had already. So then for them, for the club or Roland to go and then publish something without communicating properly, it just goes, they're back to square one again. So the club aren't communicating properly. Someone does willy-nilly, go and post whatever they want. Target 20K are obviously now disappointed, as they said in their statement. So then I don't, again, it's just the free-for-all at the moment. It's just such a mess. It's an absolute car crash. It really is. It's horrible. And you just think, what's going to happen next week?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Literally not a day can go past now. Not a day can go past without something hilarious happening. I was just chatting at work yesterday, telling them about the story of the statement. And I said, do you know what evening I had planned on Tuesday? I was going to go and sit down, watch the under-21s play. And to be honest, I was just thinking, I might get to interview Jason Yaw at the end of the day. That'd be nice. Yeah. I never really spoke to him. Instead, this absolute disaster emanated out from the club once again. And then a day later, you've got the head of communications resigning because she's been completely undermined. Right, we're going to talk about Mel Baroni in 30 seconds or so.
What do you think about his shot? No, he tees up Lookman into the penalty area, and there's number four! Adamola Lookman back in the team, back on the pitch, and back on the score sheet.
Charlton Live. talking about to Channel 9. This is the big match preview, by the way. I think I've even said that because I keep forgetting that we're a football club that has to play football games. I thought we are literally just a circus that has to deal with PR disaster from PR, lurching from one PR disaster to the next. But this is the big match preview. We will look ahead to the game at Hillsborough with Sheffield Wednesday towards the end of the show. So today Richard Corley from the South London Press revealed that Mel Baroni, the head of communications brought in after a 2-year search for a head of communications, has resigned. What did you make of that, Nath?
I haven't looked at my phone all day today. So I thought, I'd go on and just sort of see what were happening in the world of Twitter. And then I saw Richard's tweet, and then I don't know. Straight away, I was surprised. But then when you think about it logically, then I'm not surprised. I think any one of us probably would have done the same thing if it is through principle and stuff, because what's the point in having someone here to look after your communications of the whole club if you're just going to jump hurdles and just communicate what bloody hell you like anyway? It just seems pointless. I was not really surprised.
It reflects really well on Mel that she's just down tools and walked away.
Yeah, she's a specialist in the area. She's a specialist in cars. She's been in PR and comms for all her career. Yeah. So for her to go and just say, well, I'm off, because it's not like everyone just goes and leaves a job after 46 days, is it? So it speaks volumes, and, fair play to her, because at least she isn't just staying there for the sake of it and picking up a wedge or whatever. I'd be surprised if they try and get anyone else in. Imagine now, I've probably been hard. She probably had to sleep a load of nights to try and think, do I really want this before all of this, so let alone now.
We were talking just off air. If you were trying to look at the difference between the club statement released on Sunday evening, the day after the end, it was released, I think, just before we went on air on Sunday evening. So we did discuss it, but and at the time, what we were sort of saying, I was sort of saying that my view is that this statement's been released for the press. As a Charlton fan, I feel a bit insulted by it, because it's about the fifth or sixth time we've heard something similar. But when you turn it around and look at it the other way, Mel's job is to make us look good in the press and try and deal with the fans. And this is the only way you can put out a statement after such a ridiculous day at the Valley, like it was on Sunday with the protest, the walkout, the whistles, the beach balls, the funeral, the pitch invasion as well. You go out there and you don't act like a teacher telling off a naughty school child. You go there and say, look, we understand, we're upset, it's got to this as well, we're going to try and work with you. And obviously Charlton fans, we've heard that five or six times already, which is why when it was released, Charlton fans were like, it's ridiculous. But if you look at the press reaction to that, so the PA, the Press Association dugout account, took it on board and said, oh, it looks like everything's going to be fine now, they're all going to work together after the protest, it looked like the protest did what they wanted. That's what Mel was doing. Whereas at the time we felt a bit belittled, when you compare it to what the people at this club actually want to actually feel and therefore have communicated now via Roland's statement, you see why you need someone like Mel in here to do the job.
Yeah, it's the whole concept. It's the way it's written and the content of it. Yeah, we all sort of knew something was going to come about and it was all to sort of appease the media. But it was the work of a proper PR and communications person, which is her role. And then for her to do that, and then this statement comes out, I don't know if you can call it a statement or this drivel or whatever, then that comes out again. It's like, well, what's the point? What's the point in her doing anything? For it to try and lift the sort of communication sort of level, a little notch, to then just get it crashed down again. It's like one step forward and then two steps back.
Yeah, the interesting line in the statement that did come out on Sunday, which says that every supporter has the right to voice their opinion, and we're determined to do everything we can to work together to build with supporters to build our relationship with them and make sure they remain at the heart of the club. And you compare that to Roland's accusation that we all want the club to fail.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spot the difference.
Yeah, I mean, I still can't get over the fact that we've been accused that we want the club to fail, because we're protesting purely because it is failing from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely outrageous. And like I say, I personally, I didn't have too many dealings with Mel. There's much bigger fish to fry for her in terms of press relations than me. Mm. But the few times I had spoken to her, she seemed very professional. I mean, you remember the cock up with the wrong tribute being put on the big screen when Graham Moore's family were here to discuss to have like the minutes applause, and they put the wrong. She was very professional in making sure that, you know, that she made sure that everyone in the press room knew that the apology had been dealt, that the apology will be issued and had been issued at the game, and you know that's the sort of thing that she's there for, to when things go badly. I mean, that's what PR is there for. When things go badly, you try and calm it down. You try and say, look, it's a cock up. We know we're going to deal with it. So when the club's doing badly, you need someone who's got good PR to say, look, you know, we've balls this up. We know it big time. Instead of coming out swinging and blaming the fans for the demise of their club, which they've been here through the good times and bad.
Mm. Yeah, no, and exactly. They can't really sit there and blame the fans for the recruitment process, can they?
Yeah.
Oh, the reason why we've got all these, you know, these unexperienced players, because the fans want the club to fail, so that's why we bought them. You can't blame everything on the fans. It's just stupid. So, I mean, yeah, it's just getting to a stage now where they're obviously embarrassed, and it's really getting to them now. I really think that, and just keep going. Yeah. Keep going.
Right, Mel Baroni, not the only resignation from the club that's come to light today. Richard Corley, again, on the South London here press website, had the exclusive that the long-standing Charlton Athletic Stadium safety officer, John Little, has resigned and is going to leave from the end of the season. He's staying on to the end of the season, which is a classy act for starters, from not wanting to leave the club in the lurch. He's been here for, according to the paper, the South London Press, he's been here since 1998. Handed in his notice just before the MK Dons game, and then Richard managed to get a few quotes from John. He says, I've had an absolutely fantastic time working at Charlton and being at the Valley as a servant of the club and serving the supporters. I have real respect for Charlton fans. It is a fantastic club with a fantastic group of supporters. He talks a lot about the supporters, doesn't he? Mm. Notably doesn't talk about the people he's working with currently. I've never met John. I've never spoken to John, as far as I know. I don't even know what he looks like, to be honest. But he's known as a stalwart around the club. And the fact is that the only thing I know about John, because I don't tend to deal with that sort of stuff, but I know that when someone's been a naughty boy and they're going to get banned from the Valley, they have to have a meeting with John and with Mick Everett.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he obviously deals with all the naughty boys, but he still comes out and girls and still respects the Charlton fans, says a lot about the man, and is a classy way to go out, really.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, I don't know the ins and outs and the reasons why, you know, he's done it, so I don't really want to speculate on that certain front. But, I mean, I just find it a bit strange that if you look back to previous years, and I'm sort of talking back, you know, the Varney days, you know, and possibly even to an extent the Slater days, I can't remember so many people leaving this club. Like, and these guys are obviously, they're sort of, like you said, they're not like a servant, but, you know, they do it for the love, I assume. So for the amount of people that are now leaving and the turnover of the club, it's just staff turnover, rather. It just seems, it surely can't just be coincidental of who's in charge and just the whole sort of concept and sort of...
You get the impression that it's, you know, when we see it, the people like Mel leaving, it's just absolute chaos inside the club.
Yeah.
Like I say, from top to bottom, it seems. It just makes you question... You know, the management from top to bottom of the club, and that's why, you know, that you could argue that's why the football side of the club is not in good shape. But then you see other things that go wrong as well. Ticketing systems go wrong at the start of the season. Mm. There's been all sorts of nonsense here. So yeah,
well, hopefully we can sort of stay up and he can finish the season when we're in the Championship, because he obviously started in 1998 was the season for us, wasn't it, when we was in there? We got promoted, right. So hopefully we can send him off in a good one, and we all wish him best for the future.
Yeah, so. Excellent. Right, quick break. We're going to come back. I've got a couple of emails that have come into the Charlton Live inbox throughout the week, so we're going to talk about those.
Parsons. Lovely ball into the path of Goodmanson. Can he take his man on? He does. He's trying to be pulled back, but he's in the area. The ball across to Vinagaini. And there's a goal. Joel had the lead again. Super work. Firstly from Henderson to roll it out to Cousins, who did a pinpoint pass into the path of Goodmanson. And instead of Goodmanson going on his own, a slide rule ball across the penalty area picked out Vinagaini, who buried his chance. And Charlton a 2-1 up.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back, Charlton Live here. The big match preview, looking ahead to the game with Sheffield Wednesday in a few moments' time. But we've had a couple of emails that are coming to the inbox. We don't normally do emails on the the Thursday show, but we had plenty happening on Sunday. And also, I'm expecting more to them. It's always nice to try and get through them. And Robin's a listener for the... a long-time listener, Robin Lisbon, and he's tweeted me saying he'd sent an email in, so I picked it up today. So I thought I'd read it out now, so we can just get your thoughts on it. And this was sent 2 days ago on the 15th. It says, "Hi guys, I thought your show on Sunday night was exceptional. You guys, I have to say, are certainly in tune with most of my views on and off the pitch, and I suspect that this is the case for most fans. Personally, I was mentally exhausted by the end of Sunday, or I would have emailed in, so please read this out next time around." That's what we're doing now. "It was a day in our club's history that can never be forgotten, and I suspect one that may mark a turning point off the field, and I also hope on the field." And well, if you see the reaction it's got, you could argue it has been a turning point. "Yeah. The transformation of the team, and Jose, to his credit, was surreal. If we can keep that consistently going, then we may just pull the points back, but you are vulnerable to good and poor performances. And I think all the fans ask is to see every single player dig in and give 110% for the cause. I think they have to run their hearts out for 90 minutes with a tough, never-say-die attitude as we play out the 10 Cup finals to survive. If we do that, regardless of results, they will do us proud. Meanwhile, off the pitch, a huge credit needs to go to all the guys at Card, as well as you guys, and I know many others fighting for the cause. What an amazing day they organised. The creativity and hard work behind the scenes shouldn't be underestimated, and every fan is indebted to them. When we get our club back, which will be soon, everyone who fought hard for the cause should be given a lap of honour for the fans to say thank you. I've been coming to the Valley since 1956, and I can honestly say at every single game something stirs inside me, even when our team runs out to the red robin. It's an emotional connection that only true fans can understand. Sunday was nothing less than pure theatre only Charlton fans could conjure up. But the moment that made me so proud to be a Charlton fan was 12 seconds in, when pretty much the whole stadium rose to their feet in front of the Sky Sports and joined in with the thumping, deafening chorus over and over again of 'We want Roland out, say we want Roland out,' all followed by a rain of black and white beach balls. It was incredible. For me personally, it was as if the frustration emotion of the last 2 years exploded with relief in that very moment, albeit the real relief will be when Roland finally steps away. I love our fans." And that was Roland. That would be a bizarre statement. that was Robin Lisbon. Sorry,
Roland. Roland.
I mean, that says it all to me. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched that Sky Sports video of the opening 30, 40 seconds of that game, which ends with Katrine sat there all smugly. But I think we can see from the reaction from Roland, we know they're not smiling behind those smug faces. That there's a million views on that video on the Sky Sports video on Facebook already, and I'm sure there's plenty more on Twitter, YouTube, and stuff.
Yeah.
That moment for me was just so special, because it showed for me who holds the power at this club, because it was the fans' way of showing, don't care if you own the lease or whatever it is, we own the power. We can stop your business doing what it does at the drop of a hat, or in this case, many beach balls.
Yeah. No, and it's rightly so, you know, and I mean, Rob made some great points, and, you know, the shout-out to sort of Card, and obviously to this show to an extent, you know, which obviously gets people like Rob, gives him a voice in a sort of another sort of platform and stuff, so, which is great. And going back to sort of when you said, you know, they fans have the power and that sort of stuff, did you hear the quote from the new Everton owner?
I have, but yeah, go on, share it.
So basically, this isn't a quote, but it was more or less along the same lines. He was interviewed live by, I think it was BBC or Sky Sports, I think, and they were sort of about, you know, the Everton as a club. And they said to this Farhad Moshiri, they said, "Oh, what's it like to take over Everton Football Club?" And he said, "You can never take over a club, you can be part of a club." Imagine if Roland come out with something like that.
I mean, that'd be perfect. I don't know if that was a footnote to his email, but it was to his statement, but I certainly didn't see that bit.
Yeah, that was the end bit that you forgot to put on,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that was supposed to be within the brackets in the text. Yeah. Yeah. He just wanted to check the spelling on so a few words. Right, we have one more email from Aaron Honan. It says, "Hi guys, I'm truly astonished that certain fans have chosen to turn on the protesters. This is a reaction to a couple of emails we had on Sunday evening. Even if you believe in Roland's appointments and dealings, these protesters are part of this club. So how about showing solidarity I can't speak, with your fellow supporter, rather than playing into this interim CEO and owner's hands? How on earth any fan could accept the transfers and managerial appointments is beyond me, but to criticise people for making a stand is disgraceful and, in my opinion, disloyal." So that's Aaron there. I mean, obviously, I say that every fan is more than welcome to their opinion, and you know, so other shows might not have read out Nathan's email, which in particular took a swipe at me. But you know, like I said, we are here to voice everyone, and Aaron says that he finds it disloyal that people, but not everyone does think the way that, you know, Aaron does, or the way that that Rick Everett does. But you know, do you think they could try and stick together, or they're more welcome to say what they want?
I think, you know, each to their own. You know, I know there's people out there will disagree with me of many things, and I disagree with certain things about the club, right? Doesn't mean, you know, I'm pro Roland or anything like that. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, as long as it doesn't get nasty and get spiteful, which I know some of that email from Nathan was a little bit spiteful, which I don't think was read out, was it? Certain parts of it. But, I think everyone's entitled to their view, as long as we can all have an opinion off the pitch. I think as long as we're in that stand, we're all together that way. I think that's the main thing. But I have no issue with someone disagree who just wants to just turn up to a football game and have no interest in the sort of ownership. That's not my opinion, but you know, each to their own, and it's down to them.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, so thanks for your emails that have come into the inbox throughout the week. Like, so we don't normally do emails on the Thursday evening show, but more than happy to get them in there today. To have a bit of a more of a running commentary, so you're not just hearing from us, you're hearing from fans outside the show as well. Right, I'm going to be back in 30 seconds or so to talk about the 2-1 win, Epsley in the Kent Senior Cup.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
Ray Herdron, can he get across into the middle? He can. There's Custer to the far post. Yeah! That's good. The ball! With a goal in the 96th minute.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. It's a big match preview here. Right, on Tuesday evening, just before the ridiculous statement came out from Roland, it was the Kent Senior Cup semi-final. The Charlton are the reigning champions, having beaten Gillingham at Priestfield in the final by 1-0, Colin Ahern Grant last season. The Addicts were into the semi-final, having beaten they're beating Hive, they're beating Cray, they're beating Bromley. There's probably another team in there I've forgotten as well. In order to get to the semi-final, which we played away at Ebbsfleet in the Peter Varney Derby. Katrine wasn't there. I don't know if she was invited or not, actually. Possibly in her inbox. And she just ignored it. But a 2-1 win for the youngsters. I have to admit, I only really watched the first half. Second half, I was a bit sidetracked. Yeah, a bit sidetracked by looking at my phone and trying to work out what on earth that statement was about. But hey, through to the Kent Senior Cup semi-final, everything's fine.
I mean, hopefully we can. Is it Dartford? I think we got them,
right? Dartford. Yeah, in the final.
Yes, yeah, so hopefully we win. We sort of retain our title. You know, win it again. Obviously, I know there's a few key performers, which I think we're going to go on to in a sec. But, I mean, what the only sort of thing I'm thinking of, I'm just sort of hoping, which I might be sort of, you know, making stuff up here, but with the success that we're having in the under-21s, right, I'm hoping that Katrien and Roland aren't thinking, well, it's all rosy because we've got all these youngsters to fall back on and we won't have to invest in the first team squad in the summer.
Well, they've thought that a few times already, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, that's my sort of thing. I'm thinking, surely that can't be their logic again. But that's another show, another time. But obviously I see the
Weldy from Ceballos.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a
forgotten
player.
Man.
Yeah, forgotten man, but scored an absolute screamer, didn't he?
Yeah, and obviously I know it seems that, you know, he's not Jose's cup of tea. But, you know, he's obviously done the job for us and got us in the final. And obviously Georgie had a good game.
Yeah, George Lapsley plays for the under. You know, he's an under 18. I remember in the FA Youth Cup, which the under 18s go into against Millwall, I was here at the Valley. watching that game and being really impressed by him, A, his performance, and B, as a man. Because I remember after we beat Millwall in the penalty shootout, his first reaction when everyone else went to run to the goalkeeper was to go and shake all the Millwall players' hands, which obviously you shouldn't do when it's Millwall, but joking aside, you know, that's sportsmanship, and that's what we like to see. And he scored the second goal. It was a bit of a tap-in, but they all counted. There was a few other sort of more noticeable names in the lineup, like Carlin was in there, Tariq Holmes-Dennis, who's obviously back from his injury now, which is good in the under-21s. We saw Naby Sarr, and we saw El Hadji Bar as well. Is game time important for them, I guess?
Well, I mean, you know, you can't just rely on Jordan and Nalu and Diego to sort of steady the ship for the rest of the season. Don't know what the hell's happening with Ahmed, but you're going to need it. You need them to get, if they're not playing in the first team, you're going to need them to get games somewhere. And if it means that they play in the under-21s and help us get to the final and then win the final, then so be it. But, you know, Georgie's always been an assured midfielder, and he's really, really a grafter, but he also plays it so simple. He seems to have a lot of time on the ball in tight spaces, so I'd be surprised if he's not in or around the sort of first team squad next year.
Well, so they do tend to get their chances, don't they? Naby Sarr was playing in central defence. There was one point during the first half, again, when I was just sitting back and just trying to enjoy a game with, you know, greasy burger and some chips, just having a nice non-league football experience. He had the ball inside the Charlton penalty area, and he sold a dummy, so impressive. I was expecting Madame Tussauds to ring up and take it off him, because he completely flummoxed and he actually looked really good. That was one of the highlights of the first half. Like I said, I literally didn't watch a single second of the second half until I had to turn around and ask someone what the score was. Yeah. Then I looked back to the pitch and absolutely had a corner from which they pulled one back right deep into injury time to make it 2-1. But the Addicts held on and they're going to go to the final. I'm not sure where it's going to be played. Last year was at Priestfield. I don't know if it'll be played at the Prince's Park, which is Dartford Stadium, or if it'll go back to Priestfield again. I'm not sure what they're going to do with that. But, keep your eyes peeled on the Charlton website for hopefully Roland won't be publishing when the final's going to be, because
he'll be there, won't he? So
it'll be illegible. But, like I say, after the game, I was hoping to catch up with Jason. He'd gone home by the time we'd got a chance to get down to pitch side. So, but George Lapsley, the scorer of the second goal, had a quick word with him as the Addicts progressed to the Kent Senior Cup semi-final. George, 2-1 win here at Edsleeton, through to the final of the Kent Senior Cup.
Yeah, obviously it's good to get through to the final. I mean, we won it last year, so obviously we've just got to continue that run. And obviously it wasn't a normal 21s team today, where players like El Hadji Bar and Christian who come in, and obviously Naby Sarr, all of them did excellent for us, so just good to get through to the final.
As a youngster, always a good chance at Kent Senior Cup to play a game against senior players.
Yeah, I thrive upon that. Obviously what I want to be playing is men's football, and games like today just give me the opportunity to get used to that.
You managed to get a goal for yourself. Not the most difficult goal you're ever going to score, but they'll count?
Yeah, they'll count, what can I say? Yeah. Zach nice me, let it go for me, so thank you, Zach.
And personally, as you're an under-18, but a chance to play with the 21s today, more often than not on the bench, but a nice step up for you?
Yeah, obviously I only got told about 2 o'clock today I'll be starting, and once Steve told me that, I was really excited for the game. Obviously my preparation was as normally as it would be if I was on the bench, or if I'm starting, it's always going to be perfect. So I don't know, like, just good to get a start, good to play for the 21s, yeah.
And I guess you've got now that desire to win the trophy for the second year in a row.
Yeah, definitely. Got to get some silverware, haven't we? Yeah. Got to win 18s league as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, all the academy teams are doing really well in their league, so a lot of silverware is possible.
Yeah, that's what you play for, isn't it? Silverware, I think. A lot of the boys, we've all grown up together playing, so we all know, we've all got that winning mentality, so yeah, just wicked to get silverware if we can get it.
As a youngster, what is it like to come up through the ranks at Charlton, a club that you personally support?
It's obviously, I've come and watched the games as a young kid, so I've always been motivated to get into that first team, but hopefully just days like today I can keep proving myself to get into that first team, but yeah, I don't know.
The Charlton Academy over the years has produced so much talent that does get that chance to make the step up into the first team. Yeah. So, you know there will be a chance for you down the line.
Yeah, I know my chance is coming. I mean, I travelled against Colchester in the FA Cup. I'm hoping for more chances like that. Maybe not this year. I've got to think realistic. Maybe next year is my year to really push in. But, Charlton, if you look through the ranks, like you've got Diego, Callum Harriott, all of them, good players, all getting their chance. So it's just only motivation for me, yeah.
Well, congratulations for tonight and good luck in the final.
Thank you very much.
up his line. He's gone for it, you know.
Oh, what a goal!
What a goal by Armand Kassi.
Oh,
that's almost at the halfway line.
Unbelievable strike.
That is outrageous. Right-footed. Well, saw Ulrich off his line. What a goal.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're now going to look ahead to this Saturday's game up at Hillsborough with Sheffield Wednesday. Great Escape started on Sunday, didn't it?
Well, you could say that, I suppose. But, you know, I said on the last one I was on, you know, I've got to try and remain positive whilst we're until the fat lady sings, obviously. But, I think, you know, it's they're one of those teams that we seem to always get a decent result against. Not saying we're going to go and smash them or anything, but I think if we start as we did, I don't think Addy will start. I think Big Mac will probably come back in away from home against a physical team. I think if we have the same sort of intensity and the same sort of purpose that we, you know, had throughout the game against Middlesbrough, albeit I know they were sort of on the ropes, but I think we've got a chance, but I just think that we need to not concede early. I think that's the main thing for, you know, first 20 minutes, because they hate us up there anyway, because they know we're a bigger club. But and obviously, amount of times we've smashed them, even Sordell got a hat-trick against them, so they can't stand us.
I think this will be my 8th or 9th in a row to Hillsborough. We've lost one of them out of all those. It's crazy how good our record is up there. Yeah. The only thing I will say, obviously, that the wins that we've had since November, Rotherham, Brentford and Middlesbrough, the three teams that we played at the right time, Rotherham, rubbish. Brentford were going through a tough time under Dean Smith at the moment. I think next season, perhaps, you know, if they let their manager have a proper transfer window, then perhaps they'll start to rebuild. And Middlesbrough, with all this chaos with Ito Karanka, who's now gone back for some reason. we played three teams at the right time. You look at the Sheffield Wednesday side, their last bit of form doesn't look too great. There was a few draws there, but if you look at the draws, who they were against, you're looking at Hull and Brighton.
It was
a 3-0 win away at Nottingham Forest. Any 3-0 win away and from home is going to increase your confidence. So perhaps, even though their form doesn't look great on paper, perhaps they might be in slightly better mood than we expect.
Yeah, they could be, but then the last time we played them, they were unbeaten in like 9 games or something, and we weren't in a great vein of form either. I mean, it was Carroll's first home game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we didn't have the best sort of squad and in form wise, so I mean it just shows that anything can happen. But yeah, I mean their last few, they beat Forest on they beat Forest, didn't they? Was it 3-0?
Yeah,
and then Forest, they drew with Hull yesterday or Tuesday or whatever. So yeah, I mean it'll be a tough game, but I just think, you know, we keep it tight first sort of 20 minutes, try and frustrate them, and then, because I think we're better on the break. I don't think we're a team that can go there and sort of
take the ball to
no
take
I mean
the
apart from Brighton, I think that was the only game I think we've ever done that, really. But yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, I had a tweet before I came in from London Innit Geezer, I think, and he,
yeah,
I think he's, it says Mike Tyson, but I'm pretty sure that's not his name. But he reckons it's going to be, he said, where is it, he said Wednesday, a team we never lose to, easy game for us, reckon 2-0. So, you know, the optimism's there.
Yeah, possibly misplaced, but we'll find out, I guess, on that.
I think he's got a point. Like I said, you know, we've only lost one of the last two, but I mean, I can't see past a draw, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think Tom said a draw as well, didn't he?
Yeah, we'll come to that in a sec. Fernando Forestieri, a scourge for Charlton. I've hated him ever since he got himself sent off here for handball and diving.
He was playing for Watford, wasn't he?
He's playing for Watford.
Yeah,
he's now gone to Sheffield Wednesday, and twice this season he's got himself second yellow cards by diving. Well, apparently the last time it happened was quite harsh, but even then, oh God, I hate that man. He scored against us at the Valley.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sent off more than once in a season for diving, you should get a bigger ban.
Yeah,
don't you think? Like, if you're deliberately diving and getting pulled up on it, and you still only get two yellows is one game.
Yeah,
I'd ban him for more. If you do it more than once, I'd ban him tomorrow for 3 games or something. Because he's quite a nifty little player,
even though he's a bit of a snidey player. He is a player that we have at times struggled to deal with.
Yeah, he's quick feet, isn't he?
So that's it'd be interesting to see how the Charlton side line. Like, so you think Big Mac will come back in?
I think Big Mac will come in, and I think Big Mac will come in for Addy, and I've got a feeling. Jacko would be pushing, but I don't know if he'll start. But Jacko, that game is when you want Jacko in there. So,
because that's the sort of. I mean, obviously, yeah. Jacko's got fond memories of Hillsborough himself. That free kick back in League One. The sort of player who can just when we're away, a difficult place to go, a northern gritty away game. He's the sort of one who can drag you through it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think it all depends on what sort of formation he's going to play, doesn't it? Because obviously, I don't know if the sort of situation with Alou. I think Morgan was brilliant on Sunday. I've got to say that actually, I weren't here on Sunday, obviously, but. I think it will all depend on who, if Jacko plays and if the formation is. Because I think if he plays on 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1 or whatever it is, I don't think he'll put Jacko back in. I think he'll probably just sort of leave Jordan and who's the other one in the middle we had on Sunday? I forgot. Mine's gone.
Sorry.
Who else did we have in the middle on Sunday with Jordan? My head's gone.
Yeah, no, so is mine.
Diarra,
there we
yeah.
go.
You had Rod at the back, didn't you? So yeah. I think if he puts three in the middle, I don't know, maybe he'll have Jacko in there, but and get another centre-half in, but I don't know. It's yeah, but I think definitely Mac will replace Addy for sure. Yeah.
Right, what's your prediction for the game then? We've got Tom's tweeted in that he says, for the record, my prediction is it'll be 1-1 and that Roland is broken.
I'll say 1-1 Harriott. I think Harriott will carry on his form. He's got a good record against him.
Yeah,
as well,
that Sordell hat trick to the goals was out by Callum. So he's also got.
And did Harriott score in the cup game?
He did. There
it was Harriott and Church, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so
Churchy, happy to get Churchy. Yeah.
Yeah,
what a man!
Oh, what a man that was. I think I'll go for a 1-0 as well. I can't see us winning, but you know, I can see us getting a point, snatching a point or something. I hope anyway.
I think this 7 points in 3 games that we've taken. I think we need to pretty much continue that form to the end of the season to stay up. Don't we?
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I mean, and that's going to be the, you know, but I think as long as we keep the pressure on MK, you know, they might lose their bottle, and you know what I mean? But I don't know who MK have got on the weekend. Do you know who MK have got?
I haven't looked it up yet, but no.
No, but I mean, so I know they had a couple of rough, they had a couple of tough games, which they ended up winning, didn't they? They had QPR, and then they had Hull, but I don't know if they're sort of...
They're at home to Brighton.
So oh, there you go, so... Again, they don't score many goals. Brighton seems to be in a good reign of form. So if they lose and we get a point, it's another point towards it. And then we just got to hope they sort of slip up. So
Rotherham away to Ipswich as well. So the two teams above us have got difficult games as well. So.
Yeah, just look after ourselves and then we'll see what happens with the others. So.
I mean, obviously, we haven't done that for most of the season anyway.
Yeah. Leaving it late.
Yeah, right. Pretty much all we've got time for here, actually, on the big match preview. And a week that will go down in history as probably somewhere in the middle, to be honest, because we're completely mental as a football club. But it's another bizarre week here at the Valley. Nathan, thanks for joining us.
No worries, thank you very much.
I've been your host, Louis Mendes. Thanks for joining us here on the Big Match Preview. We'll be back on Sunday evening on charltonlive.co.uk to bring all the reaction from the Sheffield Wednesday game, which I'm praying that Charlton will get 3 points from, because I do not want this club to fail, Roland.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.